Okay, we are on the air.
May I begin?
Yes, please. Going to go ahead and call this Government Operations Committee meeting to order. The time is 11:30. Meeting is scheduled until indefinite, depending on whether or not we want to recess at lunch and then come back in after appropriations. We can make that decision in a half hour. Next item on the agenda is roll call.
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congresswoman Goodfellow?
Present.
Congressman Maker? Congressman Norris?
Here.
Congressman Mason?
Present.
Congressman Walker?
Here. We have a quorum. Congressman Maker did inform me that he wasn't going to be able to attend this meeting, so. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Mason, please say a prayer.
Ndachi Wakanda. Wakanda Shinki Awatakomo. Almighty Father God, we come this morning again asking for your divine guidance to be within our minds and our hearts as we take care of the business of our nation. Be with us now as we progress and proceed on, Almighty Father God. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Please review the minutes from April the 10th.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no.
One abstention. Abstain.
One abstention by Congressman Mason. Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is consideration of ONCA 1820, an act to authorize and appropriate up to $450,000 to meet the 15% match requirements of the Community Connect grant for the Pawhuska Overlay Service Area from the Economic Development Fund and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Speaker Pratt. Speaker Pratt, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Yes, these, I don't know which one we're doing for 1820 is for the continue the Pawhuska overlay. As you may recall, we appropriated the match grant previously for the Gray Horse area and then the Bowering. Is my understanding those are going well and in the planning stages to begin the construction. So this is a continuation of some of their plans, and they have a PowerPoint, and I thank the Utility Authority Board, the gentleman from the Utility Authority Board, for being here today on such short notice, as well as Susan Barrow from the IT department. And so this would continue on to provide for the Pawhuska service area and then also across to Avant and Barnstall area, so they could tap into the Bartlesville and Skytook-Owosso areas up to, I'm not sure how much into Tulsa, but they can speak more about that. So they do have a PowerPoint. We've seen it in the past, but this is just a continuation of a project that began a couple of years ago. So I guess if you all want to hear from them now at this point.
Okay. Now would be the time.
Yeah, I mean, it does just that. It's the match requirement so that they can apply for these, continue to apply for these grants, and the deadline, is my understanding, is May 1st.
Okay, Mr. Beemore, are you still the chair?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I recognize John Redcorn and Gary Bird are both with us. Appreciate you guys coming today. Mr. Beemore, if you want to join us at the table, there's room for everyone to join us. If you guys all want to come to the table, it's your call, but you're welcome to do so.
Sure.
Go ahead and take a seat anywhere or in here.
I feel like John Maker.
headphones. Be ready to go.
Okay, so, speaker, record the show.
Okay, Mr. Beemore, would you, how would you like to proceed? We can, because I told them, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with these appropriations, but at the very least, update the Congress where we are at this point with the previous grants as well, and just kind of go from there. So wherever you want to lead it, if you want to go with the PowerPoint or go right ahead, you have the floor.
Okay, how much time do we have, approximately?
Good solid 20 minutes.
Well, because I heard you all say you were here till 8 o'clock last night. I don't think I'm going to take up that much time.
I'll say this, it's 11:35. We would like to at least recess or convene at noon. I would say we could maybe a little leeway, go a little bit after, but I'd like to give staff and members of Congress time.
That's perfect.
To have lunch.
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
20 or 30 minutes.
Thank you. Speaker Brown, thank you. Congressman Walker and Congress Government Committee, Relations Committee, I believe that's the name of your committee. Thank you for the invitation. It is very appropriate to be here to, if nothing else, update Congress with respect to the broadband project, because there's been a lot that's happened. I do want to acknowledge the rest of the team here, as you did, Congressman Walker. Our new member with the Utility Authority is John Redcorn. He's here with us, and he's doing an outstanding job. I'm really happy to have him a part of our group. Gary Bird is the vice chair for the committee, and then, of course, Susan is here representing IT. They have a real strong vested interest in what we're doing with the broadband project and have been with the projects from day one going forward. So we have some members that aren't here this morning. They couldn't be here today, but this is the starting team today, and we're ready to present and hopefully give the information that you need and any other and answers that you may also need regarding the direction we're going in. This broadband project started 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago now, and this was a vision, I guess you could say, and that vision started in part with this book right here, this document, this 3-inch binder, which is the feasibility study that we put together with the assistance of ACRS Engineering Group out of Oklahoma City, James Lightfoot. This represented a great deal of work that we presented to Congress back at that time. Congressman Whitemore, I know that you initially sponsored the first grant that we applied for, and I appreciate all the support that we've had from Congress going forward, because it's something different. It's something that I think came at a time in our Osage environment and government, as we were moving away from all the turmoil that occurred with LLCs, you know, back 5-6 years ago. And for us to embark in something that was similar in nature to developing a business, not so much as an LLC, but something that in a lot of respect, you all had the most hand in making happen. Making it happen. You've had control over this. Without your support and moving forward, we wouldn't be here talking about these grants. There is a ton of money that has come into rural America for broadband development. And, you know, I know we all have our opinions about politics, but, you know, President Trump talked about developing infrastructure. And that's something that, as a result, I think of what he's done is to help provide this kind of money, because the rules have changed in the last year or so with respect to some of the eligibility, which we didn't have before, and the dollars that we didn't have before. These dollars, I say, is free money. I mean, it has strings attached, but it's a no-brainer if we're trying to develop a business like and take advantage of what broadband can bring to a community in so many different ways. It reaches out and touches all aspects of our community, our lives, every day. If we can realize the potential and what it brings, it's a no-brainer when you have the government fitting the bill for a great part of the infrastructure that's going to be needed. So we're here to give you an update and to talk a little bit about going forward and why we're here, in particular with respect to two more grants that we want to pursue. So if we may, I'd like you to turn your attention to the PowerPoint presentation. I think everyone has a... I'll let you up with this.
I don't know
how to do that.
I'll
probably go backwards or something. But the purpose of the broadband, as I've said, it's when we first presented it, you know, we presented with a price tag of like $50 million. If we wanted to do everything all at once and just basically be done with it, which would include providing fiber to all entities, which included the Osage government, okay? The public services, schools and hospitals, commercial entities and residential customers throughout the entire Osage County. That price tag was approximately $50,000, okay? We had also another option that we presented at that time, which was less, $38.5 million for facilities, for the government facilities, Osage government facilities, for the casinos and targeted communities, limited to some commercial and residential areas where it was practical to do so. So those were the two options, and we realized that in either option we weren't going to be able to appropriate this money all at once. And at the time, you know, the money as it is still is today was hard to come by, but we did get support and encouragement from the chief's office to do what you can from within, do what you can to apply for grants, and we did that, and we applied for what we call the Community Connect grants. These are grants through the Rural Utility Service, USDA, and a Community Connect grant basically is providing fiber to the home, being able to provide fiber to the home in community, rural communities that qualify. And in our feasibility study, there are several communities within Osage that would qualify for these funds. And so it became our job then to strategically identify where we would want to start and make a proposal to Congress about what would be the best community, where to start. And so looking at what I guess we could call the low-hanging fruit, that became Gray Horse and the Bowring area. So the Community Connect grants that the first one we got was Gray Horse. Okay, the matching contribution that these grants require is 15% of whatever the funded amount was from the RUS. It's up to $3 million is what each one of these grants is valued at. So for the Osage Nation and Congress, that meant $450,000 per grant, up to $450,000. We applied for the full grant for Gray Horse, and it was a long road for a lot of different reasons. But you may recall, it took us about a year to finally. It was our first application, and it took about a year to get the actual feedback from RUS and them approving everything, stamping it, certifying it, and getting the money actually transferred to Osage. So that money is in the bank now. We received that along with the matching contribution from Congress of $450,000. That was for Gray Horse. A year later, we decided that there was another area, and we were getting a lot of encouragement from the community as well in Bowring that would qualify for this grant. And so we looked at Gray Horse, which is on the west side, obviously, and it's close to Ponca City, and Ponca City has a fiber switch there and on that side of the reservation. And then Bowring is up on the other side where we're getting a little closer to another fiber switch in the Bartlesville area. We're getting closer that way. So we applied for Bowring last year, and we got a lot of encouragement from the RUS, actually, because We haven't, no one in this area has been applying for these grants. None of the major carriers, AT&T, Verizon, and so forth, were developing any infrastructure in this rural area, and they weren't going to. It just wasn't worth their time or the return on investment that they would get. But there's other things that have occurred since then. One of them you may be aware of is FirstNet, which is the emergency services infrastructure that's being funded and built by the federal government throughout the entire nation. And that's going to be coming right through Osage Country. And we believe that through close to the Bowery area as well, we believe that we're going to be able to leverage our project with FirstNet and possibly them becoming our customers. It hasn't happened yet, but that's the idea. If we were able to have this infrastructure, well, it's something that less that they're going to have to invest in. But Bowering, we applied for that grant, and we got a letter of approval that we've been awarded the grant, and we have we haven't received the dollars yet, but Congress approved the second matching contribution for Bowering last year, and it seemed to go a lot quicker this time. I was really kind of surprised, but for whatever reason, went up much quicker, and so we have two grants now that are in the in the bank, so to speak. Want to go to the next? Okay, the community connect grants. I've just been talking a little bit about the grants. The next phase of our project is hopefully going to be, and why we're here, is Pawhuska and the Avant Barnesdall area. I mentioned earlier that some of the rules have changed. And Pawhuska previously, when we first applied for these grants, was not eligible because of the fact that we already had services here, and the speed that we had services here in Pawhuska were sufficient enough at that time by the standards that they wouldn't qualify. But those standards have increased now, and so the speeds, we believe, and subject to some verification in certain areas, would certainly qualify for this grant. As a matter of fact, we had a gentleman whose name is Mr. Mike Becker. He was with the USDA, Rural Utility Service. He actually came here and did an on-site inspection with us, and they have all the data and information that they need, but he was very encouraging to us that we should apply for Pawhuska. And so that obviously got our attention. When you have federal authorities telling us you should apply, for this grant for Pawhuska. And it's always been our contention that once we get into Pawhuska, all bets are off. Things are going to start happening a lot much quicker after that, because this is where we were trying to get anyway, to initially serve the first priority, being the Osage government, because our systems were not that reliable. But it's going to provide a very robust, reliable system for our operating infrastructure for the Osage Nation government. But along comes with that is all the commercial entities, the schools that we have here in Pawhuska as well. Now that we have the ability for some greater eligibility for the grant here in Pawhuska area. So that's why we have targeted Pawhuska now. And this is really important in my mind that we focus some great attention to Pawhuska, because that's where we have the greatest number of residents, residential people, businesses, and there's a lot of development happening here in Pawhuska now. Bringing broadband, high-speed broadband to Pawhuska is going to change the rules, so to speak. Again, FirstNet's going to be coming through here. We believe that that's going to further make it much more attractive for the federal government to fund our project here in Pawhuska, this area. So we're looking at another $3 million grant that we're going to apply for, that we would like to apply for, with the blessings of the Congress here, Osage Congress, to be able to apply for this grant. Again, timing has become very important because these grants, the application is due by May 14th. We have a little extra time, but it's about a month away, and we need to get the applications in. So we're looking at Pawhuska, and we're also looking at Avant and Barnesdall, and that may be a question. Well, why are you looking at Avant and Barnesdall? And again, for the very same reason that we looked at Gray Horse and also Bowring, is because now we're getting closer to the Tulsa market, and at the Skytook, where we have the casinos as well. If we can get a infrastructure built into Avant and Barnesdall, well, then we have a loop that we're creating, and we're creating some redundancy for those entities that certainly need backup. It would be the government itself, the Osage government itself, but also the casinos. You know, they're paying a lot of dollars right now to AT&T or whomever it is that they're getting their internet from. But if you think about the entities that are paying for services now to some other organizations, those are going to become Osage customers. They're going to become Osage customers for this project. And having that redundancy is going to be very appealing to them, knowing that they're going to get the same or faster service, you know, from the broadband project that Osage has. Plus, you know, they're going to be paying for it to the Osage people, to the community itself. So we're anticipating that another $3 million for that particular grant is going to mean another $450,000 appropriation for Avant and Barnesdall. Keep in mind that if we don't, or if we are, for whatever reason, not successful in getting these two grants, the $450,000 that you would appropriate for each one of them is not, it's still going to be our dollars. It's not going anywhere. You can then use that money for whatever, you know, you may need to, but that's what's so unique about and great about these grants is that they're matching contributions. So if you don't get the grant, well, the $450,000 for each one of them is not going anywhere. It's still here. Okay, it's still going to be here. But you know, what we're anticipating, that just like we have with Gray Horse and Bowering, that we're going to get those grants, and we're going to be able to then build infrastructure and turn that $450,000 into, you know, $38 or $50 million over time. If you think about, I hear people talk about return on investment, you know, for what the investment is of the $450,000 that we've invested into these projects. $900,000, almost $1 million now for Gray Horse and Bowering. We've really almost practically, well, we've gotten that back and more so with just the Gray Horse grant that we have received now of $3 million. That is infrastructure that we're building. It's an investment that we're making towards broadband. It's something that we're going to own. It's additional assets that are being, that the Osage Nation would own. And it's never going to go away. It becomes another revenue stream. You know, it's been going on 4 years now since we started this project, and things, you know, they happen slowly over time. But we're here as you are, and looking to do things and building things for the future. And this project was certainly going to do that, each one of these projects that we're presenting today. These two projects, again, are consistent. If you go to the next slide, these projects are consistent with the master plan, if you will, that we've always had in mind. This feasibility study shows this map here, and on this map it shows the infrastructure, the lines that we are looking to build, and where they would be. The circles that you see represent areas where, if we don't have actual fiber wire going into a location, these are areas where they are wireless. Those represent a wireless area where you could provide the service wirelessly, and they're approximately 15 to 20 mile circles is what those circles represent. So some of them will, you know, overlay onto other areas, but the point is here is that we're going to be covering pretty much the entire county where we have communities and people living. So that's what the map represents. The darker colored circles, the five areas there, or six areas there, that represents the areas that we're targeting now with our grants, the ones that we've already received and the ones that we're moving forward to. And here's an update of where we are right now with the two grants. Gray Horse, we received the funds in December of last year, along with the award letter in the amount of $2.9 million, the match of $450,000. We have a total of $3.4 million in the bank. We have not spent any of that money yet. I talked with our engineer who is doing the engineering and planning for Gray Horse. He will be starting to submit invoices on a regular basis now, starting on a monthly basis, probably starting this month. But he's already doing all their engineering work so that they can start construction for the Gray Horse area. Once that happens, construction should move pretty quick. Then the Bowring area, again, we got our award letter just last month. We were very excited and surprised that we got it so quickly. But we got that award letter last month. It's an amount of $2.7 million, and the match there for $450,000 is. So we have a total of $3.1 million for Bowring, for the Bowring area. That's where we are with respect to the update. The Bowring, the money hasn't been received yet from Bowring. It doesn't indicate that on the overhead there or the PowerPoint, but it's been awarded. It's just a matter now of getting the money transferred. If we can go to the next slide. Is that the next slide? Oh, I'm sorry.
I think so.
Progress. Yeah, I just didn't go into some of the detail here on the progress I mentioned, but we received the release of funds and can begin making drawdowns as needed. We're working on finalized tower sites and the proposed community center. With each one of these, you may recall, with each one of these grants, it requires us to identify a community center location to provide free Wi-Fi or free internet services for 2 years so people can come in and learn how to use the internet and go on to the Wi-Fi and basically train for the community. So we're committed to doing that as well. We'll be commencing with the on-site design of the fiber optic for the next few weeks. And we plan to have the first RFPs for the fiber construction and other facilities within the next couple of months. That would be after ACRS finishes their engineering studies. Bowring, it would be up next. We're again waiting for the release of funds to begin working on those sites. And then, I've already mentioned the areas that we're here for today, Pawhuska and Barnsdall and Avent. Barnsdall / Avent is one grant that we're looking at, so they're not separate. So it's two grants, one for Pawhuska and one for Barnsdall Avent. As I said before, for Pawhuska, there's some, the standards have become more stringent, which would allow for the grant to apply to certain areas because of the speed. The RUS increased the definition of existing broadband from 4 megabytes down and 1 megabytes up to 10 megabytes down and 1 megabytes up. So we know that we don't have that everywhere throughout Pawhuska. So there's those areas that we don't, that's where we want to come in and build the overlay and begin serving customers immediately. There's nothing that prevents us from serving customers once we build it. In other words, once we build it, then, you know, we can connect whoever we want to. But that's when the business starts. And I think that if we're able to get, like I said before, able to get into Pawhuska, the reason why I say all bets are off is because that's when you're going to see actual a business enterprise created and developed to serve and build customers for the services. Some of the critical community facilities are also going to be benefiting the police, fire, schools, are certainly going to be helping with the scoring on the grant. And with as far as Barnesdale, Avant, like Gray Horse, that area would provide for a main fiber option backbone route consistent with the long-term plan. The area will get us closer to the marketable link to in the Tulsa market, and again help with that the redundancy aspect of a network, a broadband network. And again, we believe that there's some other facilities in the Barnesdale Avant, like emergency services that are going to, and schools that would help us get more points for our application, hopefully qualifying us for the grant. That's our update. That's what we wanted to present in terms of the appropriation for two more areas. As I've said before, this is something that happens over time. When we first presented our broadband plan, we started a phased-in approach. We wanted to do it in a phased-in approach over time. And so that time has come now. And like I said, you know, I've heard numbers thrown around as much as $1 trillion now in rural broadband for rural America. And again, there's just a lot of money there that we really need to take advantage of if we can. If we don't, we wait till the next round. I would also like to point out that we've talked to several other partners or potential partners, I should say, that over time, over the past year anyway, that have expressed some interest in partnering with Osage, and we haven't come to any real formal agreement. The only partner that we have in the game right now is with Tallgrass, who was the recipient, actually OIS, who was recipient of the grant itself. But we're talking with another partner, and it looks very promising. Unfortunately, we can't go into a lot of details with this partner now, but they're an international player in the telecommunications industry. And we're very excited about that moving forward because they would further allow us to not necessarily do the construction, because although they do construction as well, but on the business side of things, as far as operating a business with Osage. So I'm going to take a time out here and ask committee here if they have any.
I'd just like to summarize one thing and kind of put it in perspective and add it all up for you. We've asked for $1.8 million if each other two grants are awarded from the Osage Nation. $450,000, please be $900,000. We've received $900,000, so that adds up to $1.8 million. If we qualify and approve for the other two grants, we will have received $11.7 million. And any way you calculate it, $1.8 million and you get 12, sounds like a good deal to us. So that's kind of summarized what we're looking at. And so that's what I would keep in mind. I'm always about numbers, but that sounds like a pretty good deal. And
overall, like you said before, it's 50 million, and if we get these, we're, you know.
Almost a quarter of the way there.
Yeah, I mean, we ain't put a shovel in the ground yet, and we got worth of money.
Congressman Mason?
Just a question for the Speaker Pratt, and may run over to Mr. Potts here, just a question. What do we have available as we speak in the Economic Development Fund? What's the balance of that?
1.5, is it 1.1 or 1.5? Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
1.1.
1.1?
Thank you.
If I may add just one comment, I forgot. When we submit the application to RUS, we have to have in the application commitment of the dollars. In other words, we can't wait and see if we're going to get the grant. It has to be a part of the application, so that's fairly important in terms of timing as well.
Congressman Hamilton?
I've been looking at my phone a lot because I was looking at the NOFA, the Community Connect Grant, so that's what I was doing if you've seen me on my phone. Is this one grant and two projects, or is this two separate grants? It's two separate grants?
Two separate grants.
And that's, the USDA is going to allow two $3 million projects?
We would like for them to, yes, that's our plan, that's our goal, yeah.
I just know most funding agencies only allow one submission, and it seems, and I was looking on the NOFA to see if there was any restrictions on that. So we're going to have two submissions, and we're also going to have open projects with the USDA. Is there any restrictions or anything on that, Candy, or do they just allow as many submissions as you want, with as many open projects as you want?
Right, yes.
Because that'd be a concern of mine if I was a funding agency. How many open projects you would have, and how many submissions can you do the work? Can you do $3 million projects? That's just a question that I came up with.
I was going to say, weren't the other two pending at the same time, the previous, Gray Horse and Bowery?
Well, they were applied for at different times. They were a year apart, but they were aware of Gray Horse, obviously.
Yeah, 17 and 18.
Applied for in the same and still pending.
Right.
I guess they were applied for in 16 and 17.
Okay, committee, it's 12:07. Unfortunately, we did go into an extended executive session committee of the whole bill earlier, which wiped out a lot of time. What do you guys want to do? Do you guys want to continue a little bit longer? I'm a bit apprehensive about that because I just don't think we can get through all of this. Perhaps you guys know how you want to vote already or how you want to proceed. Congresswoman Bufflohead has already said that agenda item 7 not going to be considered, and Congresswoman Edwards' bill, we can reschedule that for another meeting. So, more questions?
I don't have any questions. I appreciate your all's PowerPoint and going through everything, and I know that you guys all feel really passionately about the work that you're doing, and I appreciate your work to the OSH people. I'm in a different position. So I'm looking at three appropriation bills that come out of one fund where there's $1.1 million and there's $3 million worth of requests from my colleagues. And it puts us in an uncomfortable spot. And I remember when the Economic Development Fund was established by Congresswoman Lighthorn. You established that, didn't you? And I was excited about it because I was thinking this was going to be a great thing. and then we come to the point, I guess, that was inevitable, and I was naive enough to think this is going to work, this Economic Development Fund. And we've got more legislation requests than we have to cover. And so it's inevitably a race to the podium, and it doesn't work for our people. I know that it doesn't work for our people because I've sat here since 2010 and I've watched us fail. And and knowing that, I like to think that, I've said this before, that I'm humble enough when I see something that doesn't work, to not keep going along with it. And that's the position that I've come to, and realizing that I'm probably going to make a lot of board people mad, and I'm up for reelection, but I know that this is wrong. I'm going to vote no for these appropriations simply because I know that the race to the podium doesn't work for the Osage people. It doesn't work. And it really hits home for me right now because we're talking about diversifying our economy. We talk about how important it is. And this money comes out of the Economic Development Fund. And I had a conversation last week with an Osage, an elder Osage. And she's in Owosso in a rehab center. And she was telling me, I've got 20 days to get better because my Medicaid doesn't, it only goes 20 days, Alice. And after that, it's $116 a day to stay here, so I just got to get better in 20 days. And I left there and I thought, well, I hate to hear any our elder say that. She's worried about how long that she has to get better in 20 days. That's her concern. And I didn't want to hear her have to say that she shouldn't have to worry about that she has to get better in 20 days. She should just need to get better. She shouldn't have no worries like that. And so I think about our elders and how there's a need for hospice. There's a need for better medical care. There's a need. We have a million needs and not enough money. And so during this last couple of months, we talk about diversifying our economy to bring more money in to provide better services for our people. But yet we don't have a very good way of passing out the money to the boards that are charged with bringing in more money. And so that's where I'm at. I'm a no vote, not because I don't think that it's a good project, not because I don't think that you're going to bring money into the nation at some point, but because the process, in my opinion, is flawed. And that's why I'll be voting no.
Speaker.
I would just like to comment that I would say that what you're doing is what you were tasked with doing, so I wouldn't say that you were wrong. So there are many different entities tasked with economic development, or you know, developing a plan is what you're supposed to be doing. So I would just like to say, but that is true. There's $1.1 million. We have several different entities working on economic development, and so they're all, you know, we only have so much, but I wanted to, I told you on the phone, Paul, that I didn't know where these would go, what would happen, but that if anything, it's provided an update on where we are, and this is, you know, again, I don't think it's wrong, because it's something we started, and it's a commitment that we appropriated the money, I think, for the feasibility study. And then we've appropriated $900,000 to two grants so far. And so that's the road we were trying to walk down, but just here's where we are at on the road in how much money we have to commit to the ongoing process. So, but I appreciate the work you've done. I don't know what's gonna happen, but overall, I just wanna say thank you for the update. I'm still hanging in there with you, as much as I can. But you've been doing and the work of what you've been asked to do, and so I don't think that's wrong at all.
Congressman Hamilton,
I'm in a situation where I have legislation for $1.1 million out of this. That's out of the same fund.
Wow.
So that's where I'm at. I don't know if they're going to give anything. I don't know if they're going to give any money or just part of that. This is just a question, since you have the study, does it prioritize one of these areas? If you had to prioritize, pick one or the other?
Yeah, we had that discussion actually before coming into this meeting. There's not a priority listing here. But of the two projects that we have here, they both have value for different reasons. And I think that from our discussions, our consensus would be that if we were to just get one of the applications, it probably would be Pahuska that we want to move forward with. So if that helps anyone.
I have a question since you guys are here. And I know no one has a crystal ball, but is there a realistic expectation that this grant would be funded? I mean, does anyone get a sense of it? Are we optimistic, pessimistic? I need to know that because I want to support the Pahuska one. And then with that support is going to help determine how I consider amendments to other economic development fund requests. I am going to vote yes on some of these things, but I can't for $3 million. I can for up to 1.1, and that's what I plan to do. Mm-hmm. Can anyone?
Only because Mike Becker with RUS, he's the one who suggested it. He's been with us from the very beginning of these grants, walked us through these grants, has been part of the team to notify us that we've been awarded. If he hadn't come and made that recommendation, it would have never been on the table. But because he had come here and he knows the situation here in Pahuska, he's been here several times. I mean, and his ranking within RUS, he's pretty high up there. And so if it hadn't been for him making the recommendation, we would have never thought Pahuska would have been able to be on the table.
Okay, so, I mean, Congressman Hamilton, familiar with the grant cycle and the processes, brought up a good question. Mark got two open grants going. And now we're gonna potentially do two more requests. I mean, I guess maybe on the flip side, the funding agency may think, well, this is a continuation to help them finish what we've helped them start. So is it an enhancement, in your opinion, that we have these other grants, or a deterrent?
In my opinion, it's gonna be an enhancement when we successfully complete the first two projects. And because we're getting very close to breaking ground and succeeding in these first projects, that in and of itself will be enhancing to the feasibility study and our plans for these other targeted areas that we will have a plan for. And once again, I can't emphasize enough the other aspect of building this infrastructure, not only for Osage, but also for the FirstNet infrastructure that's gonna be coming through here. That FirstNet, it's AT&T is gonna be building it, and they are partnering with rural America, wherever there's broadband systems in place now. And so for that reason, I believe that it's gonna be an enhancement.
Go ahead.
So to add to that, I think the FirstNet project in its entirety across the country is a driver for this infrastructure to be built, regardless of whether we're the ones building it. So I feel strongly, it's my belief that if we don't move forward with all these projects, with the four projects, and successfully execute them, there are going to be other entities that do these projects regardless. And to their profit and to their service. So this is a unique opportunity in terms of time and dollars to capture future business, if you will, or future, at the very least, future service to the nation in and of itself and to the people in and around Osage County.
Do you guys know when the award cycle or time frame, what the May 14th is the submission date. Is there have they indicated whenever the awards would be, the award recipients are notified?
2 months.
Mm-hmm. All right. Usually August, October is when they'll make the announcement. But for us, in our case, there were other documentations that they needed, so it delayed the announcement for the award. But they didn't. They never got rid of the money. There was still that pool of money, so they were waiting.
Okay. So it's real around August, September.
So if you applied in May, then realistically, August, September time frame, you might hear back.
Okay.
for this.
That's correct.
Or even sooner, up until that point, because they'll be asking us for more documentation. Hey, you still need to submit this, we need this sign, you know, but up until that point.
They like to have everything to go by October 1. Central side is.
Who's the applicant?
We haven't submitted the application yet, but it's very likely going to be, we've had a discussion about that, and we're looking at the Osage Nation to, again, enhance our application, because, you know, the first applicant was Tallgrass and OIS. Using Osage Nation, we have equally, if not more, experience with grants and accountability for those grants, so we believe that having the nation be the recipient leads into the actual development of an enterprise to operate the business itself. Tallgrass was identified as the recipient originally because of their 8A certifications and other licensing that they had, but also because they could do construction. And that's what they're involved in with right now, is being the construction piece of it. They are not a telecom provider or have that kind of experience, that kind of expertise for running a, operating a business. So,
okay. Any other questions or comments from the committee? We have a couple options. We could, if you know kind of how you're going to vote on these, we could consider movement on the bill. We could table it for a meeting. It would probably be next Monday before we would hear these again. I'm getting a sense that one of them has a chance. Two of them probably don't. That's just my feed. Or my take on the feedback I'm getting. So, as chair, I would.
I know how I'm.
Yeah, Alice has already expressed herself, and I appreciate that. So, what do you guys want to do? We need to wrap this meeting up, though. It's 12:20.
Bill's going to the. Are they going to Appropriations Committee as well? When you start looking into putting money into our grant matching fund, we don't have any money in there right now. So.
Right, that fund's established too, but there's not. I don't know what the balance is, but there's not money there. It's something that need to be replenished as well.
Speaker.
I move to report ONCA 1820 with the due pass recommendation.
Okay. Motion to report out ONCA 1820 with the due pass recommendation by Speaker Pratt. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Congressman Mason. Discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congresswoman Dickfox?
No.
Congressman Norris?
No.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes. Motion passes. ONCA 1820 is reported out to Congress with a due pass recommendation. Speaker Pratt?
I move to report ONCA 1821 to Congress with no recommendation.
Second.
Motion to report out ONCA 1821. With no recommendation by Speaker Pratt.
I withdraw them.
I think that would be better. Okay, motion is withdrawn. If there's no other action, ONCA 1821 will remain within this committee's jurisdiction. Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Congresswoman Goodfox.
I have a question.
Is it pertaining to her motion?
To adjourning? No. All right. I'll ask you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there a second to adjourn? Second by Congressman Norris. Any discussion? Seeing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No. that's.
Thank you.
No problem.